This is the Valley Outdoors, and we are glad to have you guys with us. We've got Don here.
I'm here.
Yep. Ava.
I'm here.
Hey, look at that. We are here, and I'm Eric. We're all here, and we're going to have a good show today, guys. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Head-to-Head Fishing, Don. Pretty amazing TV show. That, and what's going on to catch a little bit of pike in a big way. That and more when we return to the Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hello, Donald.
Hello.
Nice to be hanging out again.
Always.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Anytime you can hang out and share some information with other people, that's kind of cool and experiences. So I always like that. You know, and we haven't thrown it out there, Don. I think we need to. There's a big thing that we've been touting for a while that I think you want to make an announcement on.
Well, we do. And now's the time. You can go to our brand new website. It's been redesigned. There's some new features to it. There's some that we've had in the past that no longer are there. One of the interesting things I find is that there's a map of the United States and all of the states, and it's so simple. If you want to plan any kind of an outdoor hunting or fishing activity, all you got to do is click on that state, and it'll take you to the game and fish for that particular state. So I actually was on it myself the past few days. I'm trying to plan a hunt out west, and it makes it so simple. You don't have to look up anything.
It's a one-stop shop.
But one of the things that we're going to be offering, and most people don't get a chance to fish with a professional walleye fisherman like yourself, and we're going to be offering a trip here, and there's going to be four lucky listeners out there that are going to have the opportunity to go fishing with yourself and myself.
Yep.
Come this fall, I think September 2nd to the 9th.
Yep.
Cost you nothing to do. Just go on to our website, and you'll see the opportunity to
register.
We're going to be fishing the Kabatogama Namakan area. We'll be staying at Ashkenam Resort on the Ash River. It's a beautiful location, and just the ride up to the lakes is fun. It's about a mile ride just out of the river to get up to the opening for Kabatogama and Namakan. So we're going to do that trip this September, and we're going to have a great time. So if you're interested in going fishing with us, you'll have the opportunity to either take your own boat or you can jump in ours.
So this is cool because, yeah, you can bring your own boat up there.
If you like.
Great. And everything's basically everything, you know, you're looking at, you've got lodging and that's paid for.
And lodging and all your meals will be taken care of. If you bring your own boat, you're going to have to take care of your own expense with
the
boat.
And again, it's going to be, we will have you in the boat as we have room for the additional people, but we'll be figuring that out. Yep. What a cool deal.
It's really cool.
Can I go, Don?
Absolutely.
Oh, I guess I have to go.
You have to go. Oh. If somebody's going to fish with you.
Yeah, that's true. Know. Well, the big news is I will be having the brand new DVX-22 Vexus boat with the brand new 400 Verado, and we'll be having that out there. So if you guys want to go for a ride in that as well, so it's a free demo ride as well. Hopefully we'll be able to put fish in the boat.
If you get in my boat, you won't be going near as fast.
All I care about is getting to and from the spots and getting some fish. That's the most important thing. Speed is not the importance here. No. It's a matter of getting to, and that's going to be a blast. I grew up on that fishery, and the diversity is going to be crazy because we can catch pike, smallmouth, walleyes. And obviously, we'll be targeting walleyes. There's a number of different species that are going on. And we'll be able to break down a body of water as well. So look at what we are going to do to really kind of be successful up there.
But if, you know, if it's your opportunity to learn maybe some new techniques that you weren't aware of, and have a great time fishing with some experienced fishermen. So
yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to having you guys register to win. Again, keep in mind, if you don't register, you can't win.
Right.
That's the way it is.
So simple, good. Simple.
Awesome deal, Don. I'm excited.
It's thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Thevalleyoutdoors.com. It is the new, it is the fancy dancy website. We're going to have a lot of cool things coming up on that. And it's all a start to a major step up and growth in this whole thing that we're going to be working on, Don. I'm excited.
Right. Yep.
This is going to be very cool.
It's the beginning.
It is. It is. Speaking of kind of fun and exciting, I was able to go out this last week, and being a member of the fishing league in Red Wing, we were able to go out and spend some time in the water with buddies and have fun, and, you know, slap each other in the back and, you know, tell big stories, and then come back and tell even bigger stories. But
right,
it's actually kind of, it's a fun group. But one of the things that I found was interesting this last week, we went out and decided we're going to target some pike. So we try to target a little bit different, at least part of the night, different species each and every Wednesday night that we go out. So we went out and did that. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try something different. And a long, about 5-inch paddle tail swim bait.
Yep.
Throw it out, bright green, and steady retrieve in about 3 feet of water right next to any type of a creek that comes in to create some temperature differences. And I had a blast. The biggest was 37.5, and but I just got numbers. I think I had 15 fish over 30 inches in just an evening after 5 o'clock.
You know, I've experienced that same thing. It's been up in Canada, though, but I think that a northern pike between 30 and 34, 5 inches are the hardest fighting fish that you can catch in fresh water. You get them bigger than that, they get a little bit more lethargic. They give you a big run or two.
And then stall out.
And then they stall out because they're tired. They're old and they're tired. But the young ones that are 30 to 35,
yep,
man, do they give you a run for your money.
I had such a blast. And it was a steady retrieve. I tried using the drop spin. So if you guys are familiar with the drop spin, it's got a spinner that drops off the head, so it's below the bait. And I tried that just because I thought, you know, I'm just going to see how it pulls. And at the speed I was retrieving it, but more so the depth, Don, it just wasn't doing what I wanted. It's more of a deeper bait and more of a vertical type bait and or a lift and drop, and instead of a steady retrieve. And I thought, you know, let's just switch over to that swim bait. But nonetheless, fun night. And I guess the point really is, if you don't know how to fish for any species, it's an easy method to cast and retrieve. I was using a bait caster, but for those that aren't experienced, you can use a spin cast for kids. Let them throw all they want. You know, there's not multiple hooks, so it's not as dangerous as some of the other things to cast with crankbaits, but you really do have an advantage when it comes down to the retrieving. Just cast and reel it back, because kids, they like to do that. So as the saying goes, they're known to do that or right, want to get bored quickly, and it's one way to keep them interested, especially with northern pike. Well, tell you what, Don, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the last event we kind of teased last week and talk about how these guys were catching some fish out on Lake Mille Lacs with head-to-head. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming up. As always, we'd like to have you guys check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com, Don.
On the new one.
Yeah, the new.
Get registered.
Yeah, we got to come up with a saying for the new website. I don't know what it is, but
it's rebuilt.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
It's got a new look.
If you guys have suggestions too, feel free.
Pass
them
on.
Put something out there. We're always open to suggestions on stories. What you want to know? Is there something you want to learn? Whatever it might be. We've got the resources to find the people to bring them on. I know we're going to be bringing some of these guys from the Bass Tour. I've had a conversation with Larry Nixon. I've also had a conversation with Denny Brower. We want to have those guys coming on talking about the innovations and in the transitions in bass fishing, where they're at. Larry's still fishing it, giving it his all. And some of the new guys, we talked with Seth Fighter before, but we'll have some of these guys coming on in the fishing world. And a few surprises in the rest of the outdoor side that we won't get into yet, but definitely some amazing individuals that have contributed a lot to the outdoor side of the industry. So a lot of fun there. And speaking of a lot of fun, Don, we teased last week talking about the wrap-up day on Mille Lacs with the head-to-head fishing, yep. which I think is the most interesting televised fishing tournaments ever. You've got a guy in every boat, and it's down to the wire. And this event absolutely had thrills, spills, and all sorts of amazing, cool stuff on it, namely the number of fish that are being caught without live bait, jigging or throwing jigs, power corking with artificial leeches. It blew me away. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it was possible, but it blew me away. And when you look, the big thing I think was one guy goes out and ends up getting in a day 75 pounds of walleyes. And so let me back up. The format is such that you have 35 guys and gals competing. They compete the first 2 days, then they rank it, and they have the top grouping that fishes the third and fourth and fifth days in a bracket formation.
So they take the top 10?
Top 10.
Or top 20 and then pair them off?
Yeah, I forget, but it's a tiered program or head-to-head format so that, you know, number one goes against number 10, and then it goes down then, and then it goes from there down to the top two.
It's a bracket.
Bracketing, and they bracket on the loser side as well. So there's never a stop in action of where, you know, fish are going. And so the last day was on Friday, and a lot of cool stuff that went on. 75 pounds of fish was the big day. So the last day, Don, you love this. So you could see they're using blue metal flake worms, twister tail kind of things. They're using them with some scent in them and a heavier jig head. Some of them were swimming it. Some of them were popping it, dropping it. Buried retrieves. The other technique was the power corking that they call. If you're not familiar with it, what you do is you look for the fish. And they're using the Garmin live scope to find these fish and target those fish, and that's what Max Wilson was doing. You'd see him, cast to him, drop the leech on top of him, and you just have to keep looking for fish. So that the only thing there is that you're trying to find these fish on the edge of the weeds, and a lot of times, you know, once you catch a bunch of them, then they're done or gone. You got to sneak up on them.
Right.
So that made it difficult. So he came up short, but it was Josh Blosser, and I went and spaced the other guy's name. I went brain dead. Anyway, okay. So the two guys were going head-to-head, and they had about an 18-pound separation between them. Josh Blosser came from behind, 18 pounds back, to win it literally by ounces.
How much time did he have to make up the difference?
Well, it was, he had like 4 minutes left, 5 minutes left, the previous leader, and Joe Okada, that's it, Joe Okada. Joe was in the lead, then he lost the lead, and for about 6 minutes, he was trying everything he could. He was running, with 8 minutes left, he was running, like driving to the next spot, driving to the next spot, and could not do it. And it was one of the most incredible comebacks from Josh Blosser that I've ever seen. He just kept pouring it on, and the spot he was in and his technique was firing. Talk about excitement. Wow. I mean, I was blown away. I'm like, you're sitting in your seat. You're like, come on, Joe, you can do it. And then you're like, well, come on, Josh, that's awesome.
It is live. I mean, you can go back and watch the watch it over again, but when they're broadcasting it, it's a live event, so you don't know what the end result's going to be.
No, you don't. And the amazing part, what's so fun about it, is you're watching the whole thing the whole time. You're watching what is going on score wise, right. So you know what everybody has in weight.
Does the other fisherman know what the other person has,
yes,
whether or not they're in the lead.
Yes.
So they're obviously keeping it on an iPad or something of that nature in each individual boat.
It's exactly right. So
okay.
here's the end result. Josh Blosser had 45 pounds, 5 ounces. Joel Cotta had 44 pounds, 6 ounces. It was a crazy event. I mean,
less than a pound difference.
And that on a whole day,
right,
back and forth, Joel Cotta had a huge lead to start, 18 to 20 pounds.
Wow.
Then he narrowed it to 18, and then Josh poured the coals to it. You can go watch it head-to-head. It's on YouTube.
Right.
And it makes for an entertaining day. It really does. And put it on the background if you want to watch it this weekend and have some fun with it. Put it on your phone, whatever you so choose. But really, one of those events that I have to admit was super fun, and I'm looking forward to getting more of those shows in the future. So a lot of fun. Real quick news story came out of Chicago. 7 people were rescued from Lake Michigan, 2 separate incidents. The authorities had rescued 6 people that crashed their boat into a breakwall in Chicago near Navy Pier around 2:25 a.m. Don?
Yeah, well, I can't imagine there was any influencing
agents
factors there.
And then it said another person, in fact, here's the interesting part. No one was injured during the incident, and all of them were rescued in good condition. So that's a bonus.
That's good.
Nobody was hurt.
Yes.
Another one was an individual, they had to rescue a 43-year-old woman around 1:45 a.m., who was stranded in the water near Foster Avenue Beach. No.
What time of day?
1:45 a.m.
Yeah, again, I think she's probably.
And she was not harmed and required no medical attention. So it was an awesome story. So more awesome stories coming up. This guy's hang tight. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Having fun boating?
I love it, Dad. But do I have to wear a life jacket?
Yes, safety first. We always wear our life jackets.
Okay, Mom.
Yes, you too.
Wear it and love the life. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council.
You don't think twice about wearing your seatbelt. Going boating? Real boaters wear a life jacket. It's easy to do. Accidents can happen quickly, and if you're not wearing your life jacket, you won't have time to put it on if it's stowed. So pick a comfortable life jacket and wear it. Remember, life jackets are for everyone, regardless of your age or swimming ability. Have fun, make memories, and boat responsibly. This message brought to you by the National Safe Boating Council and U.S. Coast Guard. Learn more at safeboatingcampaign.com.
Yeah, Don, I don't know. Sometimes you can't fix stupid.
Well, here again, I don't know what you're doing out there at 1:40 a.m. in the morning, and if you're in the Chicago River or you're coming out of Lake Michigan, but I'm sure you can see the bright lights of the city.
And Navy Pier doesn't exactly not stand out.
No.
It's got a goggone Ferris wheel on it. Come on, folks.
Yeah.
And the only thing it could have been, it was adrift. It lost power or something because everyone was rescued fine.
Or a steering problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it could have been the driver.
Sometimes vision gets into
a loose wheel. Sorry, couldn't help myself. So I've been meaning to get to this story for a while, Don. I think it's, you know, I talked about it off air. It's an impactful story in a lot of different ways, but let's let the audience decide, and you and I can chat about it. There's a bill to kill up to 90% of the Idaho wolves that is heading to the governor. Lawmakers voted to 58-11 to send the agricultural industry-backed bill to the Republican Governor Brad Little. The fast-track bill allows the use of night vision equipment to kill wolves, as well as hunting from snowmobiles, all-terrain vehicles, among other measures that passed the Senate this last week. The backers said the changes to Idaho law could help cut the wolf population from 1,500 to 150, alleviating the wolf attacks on cattle, sheep, and wildlife. We have areas of the state where the wolves are having a real detrimental impact on the wildlife. They're hurting the herds, elk, and deer, and this allows the Wolf Depredation Control Board and others to control them, also which we have not done in the past. Cattle and sheep ranchers say the wolves have cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars by killing animals or harassing them, causing them to lose weight, making them less valuable when they are sold. Opponents of the legislation threatens a 2002 wolf management plan involving the federal government that could ultimately lead to the Fish and Wildlife Service taking back control of managing the state's wolves. Environmental groups blasted the House's approval of the measure and called on Republican Governor Brad Little to veto the legislation. The bill will waste millions of dollars in public funds on killing wolves and threaten to ultimately return the species to the endangered list and federal management, the Western Watersheds Project and about a dozen other environmental groups said in a statement. The primary change in the law is hiring of private contractors to kill wolves. The legislation includes increasing the amount of money the Idaho Department of Fish and Game sends to the Idaho Wolf Depredation Control Board from $110,000 to $300,000. The board, created in 2014, is an agency within the governor's office that manages state money it receives to kill wolves. What do you think about that, Don?
Well, it's getting to be a problem not only in Idaho, but I think in some other states as well. And you know, they've worked real hard to try to bring the wolves back, you know, in the in North America. And I think they've done a little bit better than they anticipated in a fairly short amount of time, which has affected a lot of ranches. I know even in Minnesota here, I was reading that they've got some issues. As the wolf population starts coming down in Minnesota, they're now down, you know, not that far, within 40 minutes of the Twin Cities.
Yep. As the movement of their packs.
And so, I mean, they're doing some trying some new techniques, but you know, where you got open area. Now, I mean, Idaho is so the area is so vast, but you can't put red flags all the way around your field. For some reason, that keeps the wolves out of it.
Which is odd.
But, I mean, they're trying to come up with other techniques
to avoid
it. But I think the end result, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this goes in Idaho. But they're not eliminating them. They're just reducing them so that they can control the population.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot button amongst a lot of groups, without question. I think one of the other things here too was just as a background piece, about 500 wolves have been killed in the state in each of the last 2 years by hunters, trappers, and wolf control measures carried out by state and federal authorities. So they're still killing 500 a year, but they're reproducing at a rate that suddenly is becoming an issue.
Right.
And that's unfortunate, especially when you end up having the human interaction aspect you don't have a choice on.
Right.
And I think I will say the same thing in metropolitan areas that you have interaction between deer herds and driving public. It becomes, even though it's not a cattle scenario we're worried about losing cattle, you're having deer crossing roads and having things where people are hitting deer. That in itself becomes a control issue that people have to, you know, as far as local agencies have to look to.
Right.
So this is the same thing, only with significant monetary implications. And you'll also find it can be a real danger at the same time. And that's one of the biggest issues, I think, that comes up. So a very strong hot button, to say the least. And I think no matter where we're at in the state, here in the Midwest, it's the same thing, a very strong hot button. So we'll stay tuned on that, Don. How about that?
Yep.
That sounds like a plan. North Carolina Black Bears, apparently they're kleptomaniacs, Don. They're swiping hikers' backpacks, the U.S. Forest Service is warning.
I hope it's not when they're on them.
I don't know.
Not on their back.
Black bears looking for food that trail users bring with them is what's happening. Hikers and campers are being warned to take precautions when visiting a national forest in North Carolina. How about everywhere? I don't care where, North Carolina or not.
I'm telling you, if a bear wants my backpack, he's going to get it. I won't call him a thief for
it. Yeah, but
it.
Don't put food in your backpack.
Well, that'd be the smart thing to do to begin with. Yeah.
No. This is not me and we're not going to have to worry about a sponsor, but just throw Cliff Bars in them. Bears won't eat. Nobody eats a Cliff Bar.
Not even a bear.
Bear. Seriously, just throw Cliff Bars in there. They'll never eat them. Oh. Not a chance. But they're saying take precautions when visiting the National Forest in North Carolina. After a string of incidents of bears stealing backpacks and food, they received reports of increased bear encounters and kleptomania within those groups. Five tips prevent the run-ins with bears. Don't note food items in tents. Store food properly, especially items like toothpaste, believe it or not. And clean up the food and garbage around a campsite and don't leave food unattended. So important safety tips.
That's kind of the rule. That's kind of rule of thumb, isn't it? When you're out in the woods and you're in bear territory, you don't pack a lot of food on you.
Good call, Don.
A pound of bacon. Don't put
bacon in my back pocket.
Right.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind for future reference.
No, I put it in your back pocket.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks, Don. I'll remember that down the road.
I think you're faster.
And there's no banana coming in my boat either, so don't even start about that. All right, guys. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We are the Valley Outdoors for Don, myself, and Ava. She's around here somewhere. We will talk with you guys next week.